Please pray with me. Dear God, we ask your blessing on these gifts that we bring. May you use them to further your kingdom in our church, but also far beyond our walls. And now I ask also that you bless this message that I bring, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts might be found acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. Please be seated. Marley was dead, to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. Charles Dickens chooses to begin his famous novella, A Christmas Carol, by assuring the reader that Ebenezer Scrooge's business partner, Jacob Marley, was dead. There's no doubt about it. And it's the most important thing for the reader to accept, to set the stage for the story that will unfold. The story of Scrooge's Christmas conversion. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. John chooses to begin his gospel by assuring the reader that the Word was there from the start. There's no doubt about it, and it's the most important thing for the reader to accept, to set the stage for the story that will unfold. The story of Jesus as the Word made flesh. The story of the Incarnation. But what does this really mean? It means that though the gospel writer is about to introduce us to Jesus, Jesus is not new. Well, that's both true and untrue. We've been talking about this in confirmation. The Word, or the Son, or the second person of the Trinity is not new. The Word was there at the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is eternal, having existed forever in the past and forever in the future. But then, at this one moment in time, the Word put on flesh as the man Jesus to live among us. So, Jesus is new, but the Word is not. So, when we talk about this in confirmation, I tell the kids that the Word is eternal in both directions of history's timeline. But in one moment, the Son became human in the man Jesus, and Jesus, with the exception of those days he spent in the tomb, is now eternal. The Word, eternal both directions. Jesus, born at one point in history, and now lives forever and ever. Tonight, we celebrate that moment on the timeline, the Incarnation. In this moment, God broke into our world, born just like us. God came to us as a baby. I had the experience this year of watching my mother recover from double knee replacement surgery. She was not a terribly patient patient. I wonder if you've ever had an illness or an injury that has laid you up for a time. What is it like to be so limited in what you can do? Especially when just days before you were able to do so many things for yourself. Even though it was just temporary, and even though she made daily progress, my mom has been so frustrated having to let others care for her and having to leave things undone. This is a very small, small way of considering what God did in this moment of incarnation. The same God who said, "Let there be light," woke, crying in the night to signal his hunger, having to trust that his mother would respond. How incredible. My mom shared with me that during her period of convalescence, she's reflected a lot about her late father, who suffered a partially paralyzing stroke about 7 years before he died. My mom's relatively short period of having to rely on others afforded her a glimpse into what it was like to be grandpa all those years. Now, Mom obviously did not seek out this opportunity to understand her father on a deeper level. This new understanding is only a byproduct of a medically necessary procedure. But her reflections point us to something else about the incarnation. Because what happened to my mother by accident happened to God with intention. God did seek out the opportunity to fully understand the human experience. God sought out our predicament to understand us. It was only in taking on our circumstances, fragile bodies, complicated interpersonal relationships, heartache and joys and pain, that God could truly be in solidarity with God's creation. Now, I can hear some of you thinking, but God is God, so couldn't God have just known? And I suppose that's true. But even if God could have just known what it was like to be human, the point is that God chose to actually experience humanity. Why? Because that's how much God loves us. And this act of solidarity communicates that love better than God just knowing ever could. In the incarnation, God willingly took on limitations to come to us, to come for us. Of course, it wasn't the first time that God had done this. Way back there in the beginning, God did the same thing. The very act of creation was an act of self-limiting for God. To be in any kind of relationship requires self-limitation. So when God decided to create at the very beginning, God had to make room for something outside of God to exist. And when our sin took it all off the rails, God reached for us and reached for us. And finally, God came for us. God took on the limitations of humanity for the sake of humanity. And then, because there's certainly more to this story than the swaddling clothes and visiting shepherds, then, having infiltrated humankind, Jesus taught us and showed us the depth of God's love. But that's not all either. Jesus also taught us what it looks like to be truly, fully human. Through the way he lived and loved, Jesus showed us humanity's greatest potential. This is what John wants us to understand from the very beginning, the overarching message of his gospel, that God has come to us in Jesus, revealed God's self to us, and demonstrated for us what it means to be fully human. Dickens sets his stage with Marley dead as a doornail. Matthew has the wise men and a vengeful Herod. Luke has the shepherds and Mary pondering things in her heart. Mark is silent on Jesus' beginnings. But for John to tell his story, we must go back to the very beginning. To understand the rest of John's gospel, we must first accept this, that the God who limited himself to create in the first place now limits himself to the confines of human flesh in the man Jesus. The God who limited himself to create now limits himself to rescue that same creation. Jesus is the Word made flesh, the Son who has been there since the beginning, before the beginning even, the Son who has been, is, and will be. Thanks be to God. Amen.